So you're John D. Rockefeller in the late 1800s, and you have a big problem. It's the Industrial Revolution, and you have this giant oil empire, but you simply can't find enough wage slaves to keep the wheels turning. Unlike today, where you can just make a job post online and a bunch of educated laborers will come flocking your way, back then most of America was rural. Most of America lived simple lives on farms. They were homeschooled, they went to schools ran by churches. They didn't know how to work a factory job or at an oil refinery. They weren't conditioned to clock in and out. So you needed a way to educate the population on a massive scale so they could come work for you. However, we don't want to educate them too much now, do we? Remember, knowledge is dangerous. There's a reason why slaves weren't allowed to learn how to read or write. So if you're gonna educate the masses, you have to tread very carefully. Teach them too much and they'll become too ambitious, too independent. They'll think for themselves. They'll become your competitors. Instead, you want to teach them just enough so they can keep your empire running with a happy, obedient smile on their face. So what did you do? You helped pioneer the American public school system. All of a sudden, every parent could just send their kids off to a free public school funded by good old Rockefeller. To the rest of the world, you looked like a saint. You were giving free education to all those uncivilized, ignorant Americans. But you and I know the truth. By dangling the prospect of free education in front of millions of American parents, you were able to trick them into relinquishing their children to the state. That way, for 8 to 12 years of a child's most formative years, you get to condition them to be exactly who you want them to be. You get to decide what they learn and don't learn. You get to decide how they see the world. You get to condition them to be scared, to be fearful, to be obedient, to not chase after their dreams, to accept mediocrity. You get to teach them that if they don't follow orders exactly to the T, they are a failure.
I can't believe it.
B? B is for bitch!
Because these are the traits that make for a good laborer. And it worked. By giving every American access to free, standardized public education, you were able to solve the labor problem in America. Now, every generation that came after it would go into school filled with innocence, creativity, and joy, and they would come out of school as an obedient worker that doesn't want to rock the boats. Workers who are perfectly happy making their employers rich.
Education system is predicated on the idea of academic ability, and there's a reason. The whole system was invented around the world. There were no public systems of education really before the 19th century. They all came into being to meet the needs of industrialism.
Ah yes, our entire education system today was created because John D. Rockefeller needed more workers. But it wasn't just Rockefeller. No, loads of other rich American tycoons poured billions of dollars into creating the modern-day education system we have today. These are the same wealthy dynasties behind big oil, big food, big pharma, and they all wanted to provide you with free conditioning, I mean education, while they send their kids to private schools. As Rockefeller once said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers." These are the dark origins of our education system, and why you want to stay dangerous.
For generations, experts tended to blame failing schools on failing neighborhoods. But reformers have begun to believe the opposite, that the problems of failing neighborhoods might be blamed on failing schools.
I'd like for this country to have a real education president for a change.
I'd like to be the education president.
I don't ever expect to sign my name to any law that is more important than the Education Act in 1965.
The day of reckoning is here.
The origins of the American education system can be traced back to something called the Prussian Empire. The Prussian Empire is the empire that made up modern-day Germany, and these Prussians were geniuses at controlling the masses. See, in the late 1700s, Prussia invaded Poland, and they won. Prussia now occupied Poland. But the Prussians now faced a new problem. Sure, they controlled Poland, but how were they gonna get the Polish people to accept their new German rulers? They were the colonizers, the enemy, and yet somehow they needed to get the entire population to throw away their Polish identity and to accept Imperial German nationalism. But the Prussians weren't stupid. They knew they had no chance in changing the minds of the adults. The adults were proud Polish people. They were set in their ways. There's no hope in converting them. But the children? The Polish children were much more moldable. And if they could attack the children, they could decimate Polish culture in just one generation. So, Prussia created a new 8-year education system, where for 8 years kids would go to school and learn things like reading and writing, but they would also learn how to listen to orders. They would learn how to do as they're told. to respect the authority of their Prussian leaders. And this new Prussian education system worked. One Prussian philosopher brilliantly described their education model by writing,
"Education should be aimed at destroying free will, so that after pupils are thus schooled, they will be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for more than one generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen."
It was as poetic as it was true. Basically, if you want a submissive population that you can rule over, you have to destroy their free will. You have to condition them not to think. Thinking is the enemy, and you have to start this conditioning when they're as young as possible. So, every Polish and Prussian child was required to attend school for 8 years. 8 years where day in and day out, these kids were force-fed so much Prussian patriotism that by the time they left school, obedience to the Prussian monarchy was the only reality they knew. The Prussian system was so effective that it caught the eye of one person, an influential American politician by the name of Horace Mann. And Horace Mann planned on exporting this Prussian model to the good old US of A. Horace Mann was passionate about reforming American education. It was his life's duty. So in 1843, he traveled across Europe visiting schools to get ideas. But no education system impressed him more than the Prussian model. To him, the Prussian model was a work of art. Here was the roadmap to molding children into anything the elite wanted. If the Prussian model could remove every single trace of Polish culture, what could it do for America? With the Prussian model, it wouldn't matter if kids were Protestant, Catholic, Black, an immigrant, Native American, or even atheists, because we would be able to permanently instill patriotism, duty, and hard work into all of them. And with Horace Mann's political influence, tax-funded public schools following the Prussian model slowly started popping up all over America. And slowly but surely, parents, teachers, those in charge, and society as a whole started to accept the Prussian model as the only sensible way to educate the youth. Instead of one big class, schools were divided into separate classes for kids of different ages. Horace also wanted mainly women to be the teachers, which is why women dominate the teaching field today. Teachers were even sent to Prussia to learn firsthand how their system worked. Authorities bought into the Prussian model so much that by 1864, Congress made it illegal for Native American kids to be taught in their native languages. Instead, they were sent to faraway boarding schools so teachers could kill the Indian to save the man. By the end of the 1800s, the Prussian model had taken over America. And by 1900, almost every American state made public school mandatory, meaning that you had to give up your kid to the states or get the kid taken away from you and thrown in prison. Horace Mann changed the face of American public education forever, but the public school system wasn't in its final form yet, because as much as the Prussian model did wonders for the government, it still didn't do much for businessmen like you. And as John D. Rockefeller, you also saw the power of the Prussian model on the masses, and you plan on systematically infiltrating it. By the late 1800s, school was mandatory. They were using the Prussian model, but there was still a giant problem. There wasn't any standard curriculum to follow. So most kids ended up learning nothing that would make them useful in an oil refinery, mine, or factory. It doesn't matter how submissive or obedient they are. If they don't have the baseline education needed for your labor, you needed submissive, obedient workers that were also educated to your standards, educated on how work will set them free. So what did you do? You went to your closest confidant, a man named Friedrich T. Gates, and together the two of you created the General Education Board. On the outside, the General Education Board sounded like this very official government board that looked over the education system in America. And that's exactly the vibe you were going for, when in reality, you just created this thing out of thin air and named it the General Education Board. That is the power of a great name. And a year later, thanks to your connections in Washington, the General Education Board went official. It was incorporated by an act of Congress in 1903 with the purpose of the promotion of education in the United States of America without distinction to race, sex, or creed. A very noble sounding cause. While at the same time, this thing, this entity would be your Trojan horse to inject more than $3.5 billion in today's money into the public school system. Today, a few billion dollars wouldn't make a dent in the monstrosity that is our public school system. But back then, it was still in its infancy, so $3.5 billion was way more than enough to mold it into whatever you wanted. So with the money and the government charter in hand, the board went on to fund a vast number of public high schools. 912 high schools in the southern states alone by 1914. You also funded universities, medical schools, Ivy League schools, so that when kids finished their conditioning in high school, they would continue their conditioning in higher education. These are the origins of America's love affair with college degrees, by the way.
College graduation has never been more valuable than it is today.
And soon, other business tycoons started jumping in on the action. By 1905, Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate, founded the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. Not because he wanted people to learn about the world and become innovators, but because he needed mine managers, operators, engineers, repairmen, smelters, and railroad conductors. And the public started to catch on all this big money moving into education. In 1914, the National Education Association said that,
"We view with alarm the activity of the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundations, agencies not in any way responsible to the people, in their efforts to control the policies of our state educational institutions, to fashion after their conception and to standardize our courses of study, and to surround the institutions with conditions which menace true academic freedom."
But your infiltration of education had picked up too much steam, too much momentum. There was no way it was going to slow down now. By 1918, every single state started requiring kids to complete elementary school, and it just picked up from there. From standardized tests to the Carnegie-funded textbooks, to the Department of Education, to labeling and medicating kids that don't do well in this Rockefeller model of education. And your boy Friedrich T. Gates, who you created the General Education Board with, put it perfectly when he explained what he envisioned for America's education system.
"In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill onto a grateful and responsive rural folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or of science. We are not to raise up among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambition to raise up among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply."
That is the education system Rockefeller wanted. One that didn't search for the intrinsic gifts endowed in each of us. One that didn't pump out philosophers, authors, artists, or musicians. No, our modern day education system was designed for one thing and one thing only. To pump out mindless, thoughtless, standardized, dare I say it, slaves. John D. Rockefeller put it even more succinctly. He said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers." And if you look around today with all this fear, all this debt, all these years of education, and yet you come out not even knowing the basic fundamentals of how to survive in this world, like how to find a lifelong partner, save, make money, invest, and file taxes, when you look around and see all of this, I'd say that Rockefeller got exactly what he wanted.